Everyone would come to order. This is the Friday, May the 29th, regular session of the Commissioner's Court. We're going to start this morning with a few moments of silence, and then we'll stand for our pledges. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Back to the top of the agenda, item number one is public comment. And I would invite anyone who would like to address the court to speak to us at this time. Joyce?
My name is Joyce Robbie, and I'm a member of TEA, which is Texas Extension Education Association. We have about 58 members in our club in Usher County. We use the Extension Office for storage for meetings and to organize activities. As an organization, we use it to store our supplies. Some of our supplies are a major part of the Yamboree. We do the canning contest, and we also do the Yampie contest. We have a concession stand at the Yamboree as a fundraiser. We also have a bean dinner and a chili luncheon as fundraisers where all the money goes back into Upshur County. Here is a list of our money that goes into Upshur County. Fire departments, Upshur Manor and Gilmer Care Center birthday parties, Friends of the Library, Christmas for a needy family in Upshur County, back to school supplies, $1,000 scholarship for a 4-H student, Upshur County 4-H program, adopted nursing home resident. We've donated trackers for the Sheriff's Department for Alzheimer's patients, Upshur County Christmas tree, which is also stored at the courthouse, the Safe Harbor Equine Rescue, the mentoring program. We have members who volunteer at the Senior Citizen Center, Pink Ladies at the Hospital, Mentoring and the Literacy Programs. We also volunteer with Extension, doing the Diabetes Clinic and the Immunization Clinic. We enter the Chili Cook-Off, which benefits go to the Upshur County Community Fund. As you can see, our clubs are very active and need the storage and a place for our meetings. We reach a lot of people in Upshur County, and I hope you take our request into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Robbie. Anyone else that would like to address the court this morning? Tina?
How are y'all?
Good.
My name is Tina Rosenbaum, and I have been a leader of the 4-H Winter Circle Club that meets out in Pritchett for the last 10 years. My kids started 4-H. My son was 8, and my daughter was 5 and as a Clover kid. And during this time, I've watched my kids go from being shy, very shy kids. The TEA ladies tell a story about when my son went to the first food show, and I was so nervous to go and interview in front of them that he had to go to the bathroom and throw up first. But this, he has grown from being that shy child into a very good leader for our county. I'm sure y'all have seen him in the newspaper many times. And I would like to say that he has learned all these leadership skills from being in the 4-H. And a lot of that went on right down in the office downstairs. Both my kids have come up for county council meetings, and they are both county council officers, and they would be here today if they weren't in school. And they have just learned all these leadership skills through the 4-H program that have developed them into these type of kids. And And through the past 10 years, you know, we've been through a lot of ups and downs in the Extension office, as many of you know. But you have made the decision to hire two outstanding agents. You know, they haven't been here long, but they have done just a wonderful job of coming in. And I was talking with Dean the other day, telling him that they're doing a great job, and our program is really growing. And to take something away from them is like me giving you a $30,000 car with no tires, and you know, it does you no good. And you've made that choice to hire them, but yet today you're looking at making a decision to take something away from them. And if for the program to grow, we have to have meeting facilities. We have to have places for our kids to come and do those interviews and learn those leadership skills. And you know, to stand up. My son stands up every other month, just as y'all do as leaders of our community, and he leads those county council meetings. And he's developed all of that through 4-H. And I just would like for y'all to think about, you know, the fact that you can't take something away from these kids and their ability through the 4-H program to develop into good leaders. You know, maybe it's about money, cutting back and not spending on a secretary or something. But if we start taking away from good youth organizations, then we're going to start looking at having to sink a lot more money into our juvenile programs. Because, you know, I've worked hard as a parent to develop my kids into good, responsible young adults as they grow up. But it takes youth organizations to help do that. And every time a parent approaches me about purchasing an animal project, you know, they think about the money that's going to cost. And I tell them, you're not going to make a lot, you know, don't expect to make money off of doing this. You're teaching kids how to be responsible. And I always tell them, you have to look at, had you rather sink the money into a project area that's going to teach them responsibility and leadership, or had you rather sink that money into paying a lawyer to represent them to get them out of trouble because they're out there on the street? And so I just hope that y'all think about these things before you make a decision today to take something away from a program that we finally have some agents that you've hired to come in here and do a good job and to represent, you know, to work for our county and build these type of leaders. Thank you.
Thanks, Tina. Hi.
I'm Melissa Rapp. I'm a member of Precinct 1. I live in Precinct 1. I'm also one of the leaders of 4-H. I'm one of the leaders of the Busy Bee 4-H in Diana. And we do hold our meetings. We also meet up here in the courthouse often, use the facilities in the office as classrooms to teach our children different leadership skills, different community service projects. And I think it's very important that we do invest in the facility and in our children. You have, as Tina said, I want to echo her comments that you've hired some excellent agents that are active and involved in growing the program. And anything that takes away from that, I think, is a step backwards. I think you're looking at good citizens and developing good citizens, people that are active in the community that have greater knowledge because of 4-H and because of the programs and the leadership and the responsibility that they take on and they give, and that the community work that they do as far as giving back to the community, working, showing their animals in the Yamboree is great, But they also do many community service projects through 4-H that teaches them to be better citizens and give back to their community. I would encourage you not only not to cut back, but to consider giving more to the 4-H program. Also, as agricultural extension agents, we own a farm in Diana, and we have multiple different animals that we rely on them for advice and information on. And I know that's part of the job that they do, and that's a vital part of the job that they do. And so I just want to also echo the concerns of several of our 4-H leaders and tell you that I would appreciate your consideration for keeping the facilities as they are and maybe even expanding the program.
Thank you, Ms. Rapp. Anyone else that would like to address the court this morning? Mr. Corbin?
My name is James Corbin, and in lieu of time, I'll just echo what these ladies have said since I've been around for a good while. I think the court ought to consider keeping and even increasing in the extension agent. I realize that some of you may not have children that ever went through 4-H. I had three of them. Got three grandkids, one still in it. It's a good program. I was amazed to find out that some of the commissioners didn't even know that this come through the county, that it was done through FFA or the school, the public school. But we need to consider that. This is a good program, and the good programs we need to spend money on to prevent having to spend it on the juvenile system and later on the criminal system. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Corbin. Mr. Collin, did you want to address the court?
Yes. The last meeting that I attended, which has been about 2 months ago, there was two gentlemen that addressed the court, and they made remarks about Mr. Crittick, what a good job that he had been doing, serving, taking care of their problems and all. Well, I'm glad to hear that Mr. Crittick is taking care of part of Precinct 1. I've got four questions for you this morning. First one is, did you contact any that filled out a road complaint to see if they was legitimate? Did you give the road complaints to Bubba or see that he got them? Did you discuss with Bubba any of the road complaints? Did you check to see if any of the road complaints was taken care of? I know that this is not on the agenda, but I would like to make an appointment with you right now to meet with you after this meeting to discuss this.
There's one ahead of you, and as soon as I finish with that lady, I'll talk with you, Mr. Carrin.
Thank you, Mr. Carrin. Is there anyone else who would like to address the court?
The first lady who spoke from the TEAA said that she hoped that you would consider their request, and she didn't say what it was. I'm assuming the request is to leave the position to have a substitute for Ms. Campbell down there rather than consolidate the position. Was that what you're asking for? I presume that was what it was.
We want to keep the building open. We want to keep it open down there so we can use it at the 4-H
community. Okay.
Her request is not to move their offices.
Not to move the offices.
Okay. Just the office space is all?
Yes.
Well, we want the 4-H agents to stay there too, but we want the office space too.
We can go down and we can address item 6, since that's what the majority of the comments were on. Item 2 on the agenda is to consider and take action on approval of recording of payroll changes.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Campbell to accept the payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item B is the payroll.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Crabtree to approve the payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll is approved. Item C are the budget amendments.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Can we stop? I want to ask a question about those payroll changes, or maybe it was a payroll. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We're paying some excess comp time. I want to know what we're going to do when we run out of money in those departments for this year's budget.
Generally, what we've been able to do is when we get to the end of the budget and we've run out of money, we ask the auditor to come in and certify to us why they're short. And if it's because of we had to pay excess comp time, then we have corrected that at the end of the year.
But that was when we were having people that were leaving, not just accumulating comp time. And still
right. Working. If it was based upon someone leaving office.
Right.
Yeah.
It's different. Right.
That's correct. If someone runs short later on for a different reason, then that's something else the court has to consider. I mean, basically, we've waited for the auditor to come in at the end of the year and tell us what happened, whether somebody left or we just had to pay comp time.
Our comment is correct. In that case, some of the departments come in, we go on comp time, particularly the sheriff's department gets hit with that year end. But in this case, we're comp time being paid out because they maxed out the number of the accumulated hours. And I would take a look at the full department to see if there's room in there to allocate any funds from other line items to cover that expense. If there's not, then the court will have to make a decision.
And as soon as that department gets in the red, we're going to be notified?
Yes.
We're not going to let it go to the end of the year and adjust it with budget amendments. Okay.
We would not be able to allow that to go to the end of the year.
Okay.
And so I'll do analysis on some of the departments at the end of this month and to see how much they have left in their department.
Okay.
And it currently appears that every department that is paying this comp time would have the ability to correct it within their own budget.
You think that's right, Auditor?
Some are getting close. One's getting close.
Okay. If we can correct it in their department, that's just fine.
We take a look at see if the department will be notified when they're getting close, how much money they have left in their department.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
On item C, the motion is by Commissioner Campbell, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item D are the accounts payable.
Motion to approve.
Second.
As we discuss accounts payable, I'm also going to include item 5, which is discuss and take action to pay the Gladewater Former Students Union for a prior election. And we owe them $275 under our contract that they need to be paid for. That ought to be included in accounts payable.
Do you have the bill, Judge? Do we have a bill for that?
Ms. Harris, we probably don't have a bill on that, but we have a contract that's signed by our county treasurer, our county clerk, and our Claymore School District, and we'll pay from that contract.
Okay. Thank you. Is that the
bill? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if I don't.
I've got a copy of it.
May I ask what you mean? November general election.
Sorry?
November general election.
Yes.
Why are we so late in paying this?
You submit them.
The bill was submitted. The contract was submitted.
There was some kind of question because you and I had talked or you said something about contract.
I may have.
And it was put on. I think it was you that put it on. I'm not sure.
All right, maybe I put it on hold.
Because I live on it.
But we'll pay from the contract, and we'll, in the next future contracts, we will stipulate on method of billing or method of payments.
You want a copy of it?
Yes.
Because it seems like this place we vote in here, location, seems like we're always late in paying this particular one. Mr. Crabtree, that's in your precinct. Isn't that correct? We're always,
it is.
Usually a record for some reason or another.
Well, in the future, they need to be. I mean, they have done things, but the other places like the Rosewood Church and all that, they need to be put to a bill because it has been on the bottom of the election forms that we need to have this year. And we need to bill each time.
So the county clerk and I have discussed that. We can put in a contract that the payment be made upon completion of election or something like that. Try and sign off and lose that.
I'll get it out today.
Thank you.
Did someone make a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
That includes the motion to approve accounts payable, including the payment to the Gladewater Former Students Union by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item E is to accept for recording various Commissioner Court documents, including but not limited to the following: auditor's reports, treasurer's reports, state and county tax summary, bonds, oaths, deputations, and other certificates.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Ferguson to record those documents. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are recorded. Item F are the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Campbell, second by Commissioner Crabtree to approve the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 3 is to discuss and take action concerning the depository contract. Madam Treasurer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Has worked hard on this.
It is just really, I've met with First National Bank on this several times. We are in the process of having the only bid that was let by First National Bank. They have put us on an account analysis. We've never been put on this. So we will be paying extra money. And being that the economy is bad for right now, we're not going to be making as much either. And that's the point that I don't like on that. But we will be charged $10 for every account every month. We will be charged 15 cents for every check that we write that goes out. Electronically, it'll be 8 cents. Every disk that we send for payroll will be $1.50 plus 8 cents per person. And I highly say on this, we need to look at going all through the deposit, because we have 80 that got a check today, and we have 150 that's on direct deposit. We'll be paying for every jury check, and I'm talking with the judge and going to get, I've talked with district clerk and county clerk, and I've got to talk with the JPs about paying with cash for juries, except the ones that sit on a jury. We will pay them their $40 a day due to the fact that we have to report that $40 to the state, and the state pays us back $36 of that, and the process of calculating and getting that all together. But that would save us not only in postage. If you take just one of the last juries we had, we had 222 people called, and by the time that you use the postage and 15 cents a check, plus those checks that are lost that I'm having to void right now, that one jury would cost us $193. $193 just for one. So we're looking at more costs. We're looking at, I've already said something to the judge about putting a line item in the budget to take care of this, and also Mike Smith in collecting taxes. There is a machine that can be used. It's $135 a month charge. The bank said that's what they pay for it. And that would take the check automatically and route it through and go directly to the bank. He does collect for all the other entities, but he does direct deposit to them. I mean, he transfers. When he puts it in his account, he transfers. We're looking at him doing the same thing to my money that I get. He pays me at least 6 or 8 checks sometimes a week. He will direct deposit those. I'll give him the account number. He can transfer the money directly in, and he will fax me the forms where I have to put it in different directions.
And I don't want to interrupt you, Meyer, but bottom line is this, gentlemen. The bid is not that good, but it's the only one we've got. And Ms. Harris is going to work diligently through the new charges. And if there's things we can do, like start paying jurors cash, if we can ask all of our in-county employees to go to direct deposit. If there are some things Mr. Smith can do in the tax assessor's office, then she's going to work on all those things to try to save us some money. But this is the only bid we've got. And
can we go out of county and see what?
You can go out for bids for out of county, but Austin Bank gave us a letter declining because of the economic factors to even bid, and they're a big bank, and they're in Longview, and they're in other places. So you may see that with the other banks
The per check charge was the biggest reason that First National has got our depository ever since I've been here, you know, because they kept...
Well, we haven't had any
everybody charges. Else always mm-hmm. had that in their bid.
And our investment rate on the T-bill is going to be a minus 4. A T-bill right now, a year from now, is going to be like, it's 0.45 right now, 0.45. You take off 40, that's only going to be 0.5 we make. But we do have an account at Texpool, and they do give better rates. I will be sending money out of the county. I want you to know right now, this is taxpayers' money. So, but it's the only bid we have. Now, you can go outside of the county, but you also have to track that. You have to take that money.
Motion to approve.
Ma'am, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I was going to ask her if she had considered talking to Capital One in Blakewater, which, as you know, is an international franchise, and they can give a better rate than, say, Austin Bank or something, but they have everything fully automated, so you don't have to actually be there.
We have to have a depository for our main money, but that doesn't mean that our money has to stay in First National Bank. We have the right to move it to any bank or do any kind of investments with anybody.
So, have you spoken to Capital One about a possibility?
I've been speaking to First National. It's been my main thing, plus everything else my office has right now. Those will, when we do this bank depository, then I can venture out and do what I need to do. So,
I mean, we advertised for contracts, and they didn't submit a contract, so we're bound to what we get anyway. I mean,
yes.
It's
unless they just say, no, let's go back out again. But I think they're going to be, in my opinion, we're going to have the same
problem. It actually has to be done this meeting.
I was thinking, say we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
No, it has to be done.
Yeah, well, yep. We don't have time. We don't have time for another contract.
If it goes out of the county, but you know, we can transfer funds by electronic measures because we have accounts at Texpool, which is a state pool.
There's a motion by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Ferguson, to approve the depository contract with First National Bank. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 4 is to discuss and take action concerning the contract for postage meters. And Ms. Harris, again, thank you for all your help, and we'll work together on those fees. Our postage meter contract is up, and we voted to seek some proposals. I canceled those contracts effective on their normal termination date. The auditor worked hard getting us some more proposals, and as we look at these, we have one from Arista and one from Pitney Bowes.
Let me comment. Dennis Wiggins from Arista, just putting up Tyler, and Terry Russell with Pitney Bowes. He's in the audience from either of them in Mineola. And they went to all of our offices and surveyed the employees to determine what would work for our area, for our offices, and came back with their suggestions.
And the auditors told me that both of these gentlemen were very conscientious and very helpful. And
it's very, very.
But it appears, and sir, you're with Pitney Bowes, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you believe that the equipment you've bid here in this or proposed here will be adequate for these offices?
I think it would be adequate. But I've been doing this 26 years, and I try to get the customers to go with what fits the application best. You have two offices that concern me with the last bid that I gave, and the you and I discussed this when we talked about it. Your tax assessor has a 4 or 5 month period when they do a tremendous amount of mail. They have 120,000 accounts, they try to combine. If I've got them in one property, they try to put them together so they don't have to mail out 120,000, but they're going to mail out probably at least 100,000. They're trying to get the money back to the property taxes. And then they have to mail out a second time, 6,000 for the people that didn't pay the first time. And they mail about 3,000 more the third time for the people that didn't pay the first or the second time, trying to get the money. And then everybody, so you're going to mail in the ballpark 110,000 pieces of mail going out for those mailings in that 4 month period. And if everybody pays their bill, they send them a receipt. So basically, the volume doubles. Now they get 220,000 pieces that they're doing in the 4 month period. The machines that I did on the last proposal will work, but they're awfully small. And what I've spoken with Mr. Smith about is that if they try it for 2 or 3 months and they don't like it, we'll replace it with a bigger machine with y'all's approval. But, you know, normally we would recommend a bigger machine in that application. The only other office that I was concerned about was Ms. Williams' office from the district clerk. She does about $1,500 to $2,000 a month in postage. Most of her mail is letter mail. She shares it with the sheriff's department. They all share the same machine. And I thought originally that it needed to have a bigger machine. But again, with my experience in these situations, a lot of times the commissioners have to be concerned more about the money, especially in the beginning, than the application. So I was trying to be as competitive as I could, give you the very smallest machines in all the locations to try to earn your business. But I want you to know that if you, either the tax assessor's office or the district clerk, are not happy with what they've got, we think you both will work with you to upgrade it to something that would better fit their needs.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to do to change.
Okay.
And this includes, these quotes here include the JP offices, the district clerk, county clerk, treasurer, tax office, and 2 JP offices. And that'd be an average for 50 bows. The way they quoted it, they gave us the first year free service, free maintenance agreement. Well, I, to get apples to apples, I had the average cost of the whole project. Average cost about $527 a month over a 5 year period.
That bid is going to save the county from our current position. It's probably going to save us in the neighborhood of $30,000 over a 5 year period.
Can I ask you how many machines are in each one of the offices?
One machine each office.
There's just one machine in each office?
Correct. There's a district clerk, county clerk, treasurer, tax assessor, the 2 JPs. The JP ones are just your basic weigh it, punch it, one envelope at a time. The tax assessor, or I'm sorry, the 2 district clerks and the treasurer is automatic feed, handles up to, I believe, 90 envelopes a minute.
95.
Seals it, stamps it, weigh it. Tax office is very similar, except it just can handle more speed.
Well, thank you for your effort on this, Mr. Smith, and I'll make a motion for us to accept the Pitney Bowes.
We have the amount of 2 bids for you.
Second. Here.
There's a motion by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Ferguson. And you mean the bid with the without the way on the way, the lesser Pitney Bowes bid?
The first one, the revised Pitney Bowes.
Okay.
Yes, the one for
5. Except the Pitney Bowes bid of 5. It's basically the way we have it figured is 527.20 per month.
Yes, average cost.
Average cost basis. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Thanks for all the hard work on that. As we discuss accounts payable, I'm also going to include item 5, which is discuss and take action to pay the Gladewater Former Students Union for a prior election, and we owe them $275 under our contract that they need to be paid for. That ought to be included in accounts payable.
Do you have the bill, Judge? Do we have a bill for that?
Ms. Harris, we probably don't have a bill on that, but we have a contract that's signed by our county treasurer, our county clerk, and our Gladewater school district, and we'll pay for that contract.
Okay, thank you. Is that
I've got a copy of it.
November general election. November general election.
Yes.
Why are we so late in things?
You submit them.
The bill was submitted. The contract was submitted.
There was some kind of question on it because you and I had talked or you said something about contract.
And it was put on, thank you, you did put it on.
I'm not sure. All right, maybe I put it on hold.
Because I would.
We'll pay for the contract and we'll, in the next future contracts, we will stipulate a method of billing or method of payments.
You want a copy of it?
Yes.
Because it seems like this place we vote in here, location, seems like we're always late in paying this particular one. Mr. Crabtree, that's in your precinct, isn't that correct?
It is.
That's usually a record for some reason or other.
Well, in the future, they may be, I mean, they have done things, but the other places like the Rosewood Church and all that, they need to be putting this to a bill because it has been on the bottom of the election forms. So we need to have it this year.
So the county clerk and I have discussed that. We can put in a contract that the payment be made upon completion of an election or something like that. If I signed off, we'll use that as an invoice.
I'll get it out today. So.
Thank you.
Did someone make a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
That includes the motion to approve accounts payable, including the payment to the Gladewater Former Students Union, by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Did you want to say something?
Yes. You know, I expressed my concern about things being put on the agenda. I could have put that on the agenda, but I chose to take care of that in a different manner. If you had come to me, then I would have explained to you we would pay the bill.
What is this? This is a bill for me. This is a personal bill.
Yes, it is.
We don't put personal bills on the agenda. You put a personal bill on the agenda, and you'd be doing wrong. No, you didn't take care of this. I took care of this. This was my bill.
I took it to the auditor. And told him, this does not come to me.
Okay, we're not going
to take that to Lloyd. May I have that back, please?
No, you give it to me.
We're not going to get into this kind of deal in Commissioner's
Well,
Court.
Judge, this is a bill when I put an advertisement in the paper to campaign. For some reason, they sent the bill to the office. It's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with you not paying your election bills.
It has to do with how you take care of the matter.
And did you not tell Mr. Leon Watson that you could not approve that bill? The county judge had to do that, so I put it on the agenda. Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Item 6 is to discuss and take action to combine the positions of the Commissioner's Court Assistant and the Extension Agent's Assistant, make adjustments to those salaries, and the reallocation of office space. There seems to be an indication where some people may have had the idea that perhaps the Commissioner's Court was considering doing away with 4-H or limiting 4-H in some way, and that certainly was never my intention. I don't believe it was any other commissioner's intention. What happened is that when we found out that Mary Rose Campbell was about to retire, I had always thought that at some point we might be able to combine her position with the assistant for the commissioner's court. And so that's the reason I placed it on the agenda the way I did. And I didn't know what we might want to do about office space at some point. And there had been some discussion about moving our agents, our extension agents, up to the second floor with the commissioners. And I think that's where everybody became really concerned. And if I'm misstating anything that for Ms. Robbie or for Ms. Rosenbaum or for Ms. Raff, anyone else, please correct me. I began to understand that the concern was not so much over whether or not they had a secretary down there or an assistant down there with them all the time, because they felt like, I talked to Joey and to Jessica both, and they both said that they thought they could handle their walk-in traffic fine. That they might want their phones transferred up where the commissioner's assistant would answer their phones for them, but they could certainly handle their walk-in traffic if we would just leave their offices alone. So that's what I know about it, and my recommendation to the court will be that we transfer their phones up so that they ring at Ms. Whiteside's desk, and she could answer the phones for them, but that we leave them in the offices downstairs. But you know, we need to let Ms. Raff. Did you want to say something else?
Is there a consideration basis on the amount of workload that the secretary is going to be the new secretary is going to be accepting, and possibly whether or not that a new secretary or assistant for the two agents needs to be after a certain trial period?
I think there would be. I think that certainly if Joey and Jessica came to us and said, look, this is just not going to work, then we would reconsider that.
Because, you know, there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of contacting the schools for getting school excuses for the students that need to be out to do 4-H projects and go to the different shows and projects that are being held. Those are excused from school. It's an excused absence when you have those kinds of things that are facts to the school. Otherwise, it's not an excuse. So if that workload became too great and those things didn't get done, that could really affect our children in that they would miss days that would not be excused and things like that.
Okay. That would certainly be considered.
Yeah, and I think, too, that we would need some type of communication, you know, on the door down there, whether the people could come on to the second floor and roof.
If the court allows us to stay in our office in this room to be in charge of the phones and the paperwork, I've already made a sign stating that if I'm out of the office, I'm in the field. Sorry for the inconvenience, but if you need immediate assistance, please see Ms. Ruth on the second floor and she can help you with anything.
And another thing, on your meetings and stuff, I know no commissioner that would object. Anytime that you need a lot of seating room, you could use this room or the commissioner's court room.
We've tried that once before, and sometimes it's in conflict because a lot of our meetings are on Mondays and it's in conflict with the probation office. So we just try to arrange that. I've tried that once before, and the probation office, they said they would move. That wasn't a problem. I just think it's safety for the kids, a lot of it.
Well, I think that you've got the all the literature that you need pertaining to that meeting is right there within hands reach. And if you're up here and you have to continue to go back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is I'm grabbing books and I have to move all of my easels and my TVs and stuff that I use, because I use that room a lot for my livestock kids. When I'm not doing hands-on stuff, I'm doing it for record book training and leadership, and we have to have a table so they can take notes and write and make sure that they've got everything there accessible to them, and I have to make copies quick and this and that, and it's all right there. But for board meetings and stuff like that, the courtroom is a good one for our county council meetings when they're not taking as many notes for training.
Well, I personally think you're probably going to be better off not to move out of the office area that you're in. I think that, you know, you're set up real well in there. You know where everything's at. and there would be no adjustment. Now, I do appreciate the two of you saying that you will try and handle the job without a secretary there. But my question is, I've been down there several times when Ms. Campbell was down there, and you are the previous agent. The two of you or the previous agent have been on the phone when there's been two and three people that have walked in the office at one time or whatever. Now, you know, I think there's a good chance you could be overloading yourselves. And like I say, you know, we will have to have this on a trial basis. But observing what goes on in our office for the last 4.5 years and what goes on in your office, you've got a lot more walk-in traffic in your office. And I think it would be better situated if the commissioners was able to redirect our traffic down to your office where the secretary is much more needed, I think.
Well, for right now, I want to try this way first, and if I get to the point where I know I'm overwhelmed, then I'll come to the judge and the commissioners. But for right now, I'd like to see it work this way, just on a trial basis. I know in the past 3 days, I've had at least 15 to 20 people in my office bringing me specimens of trees and bugs and answering questions on vegetables and trees and fertilizer and soil samples and stuff like that. So, plus answering the phone. So, I want to do this on a trial basis. I'm willing to work on anything, but my concern is the office space, because that's where I do teach my kids. That's my classroom. And that's also where I teach my gentlemen for their pesticide license. If I have to do pesticide trainings and stuff like that in a small number, that's where I do that at, until it gets on a grander scale come to September when we do a large, massive, several county deal. But this, the extension office is my classroom for the community.
And might I say, I really don't want to lose our secretary, because we've got a good secretary up there. I mean, you know, but if we're going to combine the two offices, I just think, my opinion, it would be better to go that direction. Now, that if Ms. Whiteside stays up there in our area, you're going to need a lot of information that's printed out and everything. We won't be able to use the copy machine in our area. That means that any activity that goes on along those lines there, she's going to have to come down to your office and make up, put all the folders together, do all the printing work. None of the office supplies can be commingled with our office or our office with your office, simply because of the budget issue. So any activity along those lines there is going to have to be conducted by the joint secretary here between the two of us or whatever, and it'll have to be conducted in your office, which means Ms. Whiteside will have to come down there.
I think that there will be some things that she'll have to come downstairs for, but I'm hoping that maybe we can work out a system like I can have everything that I need, and I don't know. That's something that we'll have to sit down and talk and go into detail about. I don't know how that's going to work or anything like that.
Well, your copy machine, if I'm not mistaken, is provided by A&M, is that correct? Or by the state or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, and so all the printing expenses that you do in your office needs to be done on your equipment and not ours up there. Ours is basically on its last leg. I mean, it's in ICU right now, I believe, they're ordering the parts for it, so.
It may be moved. I don't think that's something that.
Mary Rose, that's a county copier, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
Oh, it is a county?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it would solve the whole issue, and my motion is right now that we leave the county extension office where it is, with Miss Roof being the assistant, giving her a key, and running a main line from extension office to her office to where she can answer the calls. And then when they're out of the office, they leave a note on the door to come up to the second floor to see Miss Roof. Is what they need. And then when Miss Roof is needed, she can go downstairs, help them out, assisting with their copiers and all of that, and assist with their work. That'll be my motion in a form now.
I think before we submit a motion to court, I think we also need to discuss pay issues and also it being a temporary or trial period, how long the trial period is going to be. So I think we got those two other issues, Mr. Campbell, that needs to be discussed before we make
a motion. I revise my motion then to 6 months trial period. And I will say, Ben's, we give Gina the same. If I think it was 200 per pay day, if we did Gina, I think it's fair to give her the same thing.
200 per pay day, or?
Yes, I think it's what we give Gina, didn't we?
Why don't we just move hers to what Mary Rose was making?
Well, at this point in time, Mary Rose has been there 25 years. Miss Ruth hadn't been there for 16.
Yeah,
so I don't think it's fair to the other employees that we jumped that much.
She's taking on two jobs.
Pardon?
She's taking on two jobs.
Well, Miss Gina took on two, too. When she was down at 911 mapping.
Well, I won't.
She just took on another part-time job. I mean,
well, but
yeah, a part-time employee
thing.
Left, so, you
right.
know.
Same thing, though.
Let me say that the longevity factor, Mary Rose came with longevity, and that should not be Dick's.
Nope, shouldn't.
Hers is different. I mean, she has longevity, Miss Ruth does, but Mary Rose had more longevity for being here more years. So that's not my regular salary.
Well, I'm sorry that we'll raise Ruth to Mary Rose's salary.
I'll second the current
that's
motion
salary.
On the floor.
How much is the, what's the difference in their salaries?
20.
There you go, Jim. A little more than $2,000.
But you look here on the other side, but the longevity on it.
$3,000.
Base salary.
We do 200 pay period work, that's going to be, it's going to move up. That is plus, I think, isn't it?
Pay well, we're just going by what we give Miss Gina.
There's 24 pay periods in here.
So if you did, that'd be $4,800 there. That's more than what Miss Campbell was making.
About $2,500. Your motion is $2,550. About. It's moving. It's about what it is. Yeah. Okay. And the motion is, and is that what you're talking about? Okay. You're talking about the base salaries? All right. Then the motion is to leave the office space as it is, assign not to fill the extension agent's assistance position, but combine that position on a six-month trial period with the commissioner's court assistant, transfer their phones upstairs, make sure that Jessica and Joey can put a sign on their door to redirect walk-in traffic if they're not there, and to move Ms. Whiteside's base salary up to Ms. Campbell's base salary. Mm-hmm. And that motion is by
effective next pay period, or because we're still paying Mary Rose off. We have to pay her the next pay period to pay her off. And if she start right now,
it'd be effective immediately.
June 1.
Yeah. That motion is by Commissioner Ferguson and seconded by Commissioner Crittenden.
No, sir, nope. Judge. Mr. Campbell's got the motion on the floor. Do the 200, which would bump her salary up to $30,685.20.
Okay. Is there a motion to Commissioner Campbell's? Is there a second to Commissioner Campbell's motion?
I second Mr. Campbell's motion, but I would like to withdraw my second if that's what he's, if he's talking about the $200 per pay period. Because I agree with our treasurer out there. I mean, we've got 24 years there of longevity that's factored into that $28,863. And I don't think that that needs to be a factor. I think it needs to be a factor in there, and not to compensate somebody that's been here for 6 years.
Let me redo my motion on that. I make a motion is we raise our salary to $2,400 a month. And that will bring it up to $27,997.20.
Not $2,400 a month.
I mean, not a month, but a year. Excuse me.
Second.
How much did you say?
$2,400. Move up to the base salary.
Mm-hmm. Give her a pay raise of $2,400.
Oh, a raise of $2,400. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You can bring it up to $27,997.
All right. Okay.
Either $2,400 or $2,550. It's $150. Unless you're going, that's $3,000.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right.
But I don't have money.
All right.
The motion by Commissioner Campbell is to, as previously stated, with the exception of the salary increase, which stated correctly is $2,400 per year. Seconded by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Passes 3-1.
So she gets
$2,400.
Who cast the lone dissenting vote?
Commissioner Crabtree.
And I want the TEA ladies to know, especially, I absolutely do not want to do anything with 4-H. I think that the office would be better served when their secretary is in the same room with them. My son went through, Ms. Rosenbaum was his first FFA teacher, and he went through ag with FFA and showing animals until he was a senior when he moved to Gladewater. And they didn't have a program to show heifers at Gladewater. And so, therefore, he went over and he showed with 4-H, and he was on the shooting team. You know, I mean, he participated extensively in 4-H at the point when he left FFA and went to 4-H. He was an officer in the group, you know, and I'm not against 4-H or our extension offices at all. But I think that we would be better served. We're fixing to renovate a room for our computer technology and move over. We could free up a lot of space right there. We just renovated the Rock Building, and we've got room for the fire marshal there. We could move a fire marshal. We could give the treasurer's office a lot more room, and we could still have ample room for the extension office. We've got plenty of storage. I'm not prepared in taking any storage away. I just think we would be better served by moving the agents, and that's the reason that I voted against it. I just want y'all to know that.
Thank you, Commissioner Crabtree. Item 7 on the agenda is to discuss and take action to approve the resolution for the Victim Services Grant. This is a grant that the district attorney has applied for. It does not tie us to the grant in any way, but merely is the first step to allow him to make the application.
Motion to approve the resolution. To apply for the grant.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Ferguson to approve the resolution in support of the Victim Services grant. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. This morning, we're going to go straight to item 8 and go into executive session so that our attorney can get out of here a little earlier. That item reads that the court will go into executive session as authorized by Vernon's Texas Code's annotated 551.07111A to discuss pending litigation against the county with attorney Robert Davis. This time, the court will reconvene under item 9 on the agenda. into open session and take any action necessary regarding pending litigation against the county. Are there any motions? All right. Without any motions, we'll go. I don't know. It's the district attorney's grant.
Second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.